Welcome to another Stank Gang podcast with Stephanie Radecki as we talk about Midwestern State volleyball. And we may have had the best volleyball weekend in I don't know how long this past weekend here, as Midwestern State hosted both Dallas Baptist and Texas Woman's University. And just the quality of play, what we saw on the floor, the excitement generated from both of those matches, unparalleled in recent years here at Midwestern State. And I know it's a little disappointing you didn't get the win in the TWU match, but just overall, how did you feel about the weekend?
I mean, I felt really good. I think we talked briefly at practice yesterday because I do feel like that fifth set on Saturday kind of took the wind out of us when what was an amazing weekend. It was just hard to celebrate that because we ended on that note, but it doesn't take away from the fact that there was amazing volleyball being played in this arena, and our girls created that, and that's just really exciting.
So let's talk about that fifth set for just a moment. I know you don't want to relive it, but you got out to a 6-0 lead, but it was
blacked it out. I don't even remember what happened.
It was nobody other than it was nobody other than Stephanie Radecki who told me in a fifth set that there's more time than you realize.
Yes,
and that a 6-point lead isn't quite as big as maybe we think it is.
Yeah, I mean it's big, but you know, in a game of momentum shifts and how dramatic those can be, and how much you can kind of build on that, anything can happen, you know. And I think we did start to pull back around towards the end, and we just ran out of time. So, you know, obviously two great teams and two very athletic teams battling each other, and some of the rallies were crazy good. What both teams were doing and what big swings, big defensive plays, just fun volleyball. So
That's probably the best word I've heard to describe it, fun, because that's exactly what it was. And it started Friday night with that match against Dallas Baptist. They also are an athletic team with a lot of size, taking big swings.
Yes.
And you win that match 3-1. That was an impressive win.
Yeah, and I think, you know, one of the best outsides in the conference, a freshman that I think is going to be one of the best outsides in the conference, athletic, strong. They have freshmen contributing, which – you know, can be good, can be challenging, but they're just a very strong team. They're well coached. They've been strong in the conference. And so I think a 3-1 win versus Dallas Baptist right now is pretty huge for our program. When was the last time we beat Dallas Baptist? Do you know the answer to that question?
I could tell you.
Did I just put you on the spot?
If you give me a half a second, I'll be able to tell you, but it had been a while.
Yeah.
Last time Midwestern State, they beat them in 2021 at a neutral site, which must have been that would have been the COVID year. That would have been would have been a tournament game in San Angelo.
Okay.
So the last time you beat them in a regular season match would have been in 2017.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, they've been really strong, especially as of late, and so it was really nice to get that win.
Yeah, recently they've certainly had Midwestern State's number. They had won the last four meetings until Halloween night when Midwestern State came out on top. You still got two more games left in this homestand. You talked about talking to the team. They may have been a little bit down after that fifth set. How do you go about getting them back up?
Well, I think they know that they're playing really good volleyball right now, so especially at home. You know, I think that that's been a huge push for our team and our program, and knowing that in our conference it's always challenging when you're on the road, just long road trips and great teams that you face every time you play. And so we have to definitely take advantage of being at home. I do think we have a pretty solid home court advantage and we feel good at home. And so I think that's really important. But, you know, there's not much to be said in terms of they know that they have to compete this time of year, and they're ready to do so. So we're really excited to have two more home games this weekend.
Do you think you have another level you can get to?
Every team has another level. We just need to keep getting better every day and focusing on what we can control right now.
You've got Angelo State coming in for what should be a really fun night, Friday night. It is milestone night.
Yes, it is.
There's an attendance goal of 1,000.
Yes.
I know there's people feverishly working to try to get as many people as possible into DL Ligon Counseling. You got a DJ coming?
We do. DJ Lightbright.
Who I think was here for a basketball game last year.
Really? I did not know that.
I think.
Okay.
If I understood Amanda right, the guy's fantastic.
Okay. He is fantastic. But
so it's got to be the same guy.
That. Yeah.
And then there's actually raffle tickets.
Yes, they're giving five $100 prizes on a raffle ticket to students that are here.
To students.
Yes, they are students. It is student-centered. We also are giving shirts away while supplies last to students. Also pushing those with our student athletes. So we are giving the shirts to student athletes and the students that come until we run out. So their shirts, they're going to say Mustangs, supporting Mustangs, because we're all Mustangs.
We are all
supporting
Mustangs. And we're all supporting Mustangs.
Yes.
That's Friday night, 6 o'clock, Angelo State's here. What should we expect during the match?
Well, two extremely athletic teams. You know, Angelo has a very impressive record in terms of what they've done in their program and the standard that they compete at nationally every year. You know, that's kind of our goal. That's where we want to get. And so it's really important for us to play well Friday night and really push Angelo State. And I think we can do that. So, just great volleyball, like you'd see versus any Lone Star team. It's just going to be impressive athletes that compete at a really high level.
And then Permian Basin is in here for what kind of sadly is Senior Day.
It is Senior Day, which is always kind of the bittersweet. Like, it's fun to be able to celebrate these players. I think this is obviously this group has made a big impact on our program. You know, we're going to recognize Demi Stauffenberg, Sadie Christiansen, Ari Fields, Trinity Vinzant, and we're going to recognize Corinne Johnson. She's not necessarily a senior, but she has invested 3 years into our program, and she is graduating this spring. So we're excited for her next adventure, but we're going to recognize those five players.
And then we mentioned it's milestone night. There's a couple of milestones you're going to recognize.
Right. We're going to recognize Demi and Sadie. Demi had reached two milestones this fall, 1,000 career digs and 1,000 career kills. And Sadie has reached this fall 1,000 career digs. So pretty impressive.
It is pretty impressive. And you're going to have some special guests because we're going to celebrate the inaugural season 40 years ago when Midwestern State started its volleyball program in earnest, September 12th against McMurray in 1985.
Yeah.
Do you know what you were doing in 1985?
I mean, I was, I don't want to say my age on here, but I was young.
That's a year after I graduated high school, by the
way. Oh, okay. Yeah, no, I mean, I was pretty young, so no, I have no idea what I was doing that day.
So some of the players from that team are going to be here.
And their coach, Dave. I talked to him this morning. He's flying in.
Simeon, am I pronouncing his name?
I believe so, but
I may be mispronouncing his name.
Probably the wrong person to ask, but super impressive man. You know, he started this program with very little volleyball coaching experience, and that's a big task. And so I'm excited to meet him in person and have him and sounds like a pretty decent group of that team that's coming.
I've got an article that was written by Paul English in the Times Record News before the start of that season. The coach's quote is saying 10 of the 13 girls on the roster are freshmen, so they were very young, very inexperienced. He said you just can't find a substitute for experience. The experienced teams find ways to win. So some things were true 40 years ago that are still true today.
Yes, yes. Knowledge. Dropping knowledge.
I know we've talked about this before, but man, this is a sport that's come a long way in 40 years.
Yeah, I think the sport has grown dramatically. I think that the support and the fan base of the sport has grown dramatically, which is so exciting to see because, you know, until you come to a game, you don't really realize the type of athletes that play this sport and how strong you have to be and how quick you have to be and just the type of stamina that you need in order to compete. And so it's really nice to see.
And it you could make the argument it's changed more than any other sport. I mean, just based on the rules and the way we keep score now, totally different than the way we kept score in 1985.
Like back when I played in college, it was regular scoring.
You were still playing.
Yes.
Non-rally scoring.
Yes. Yeah.
That made it a better game, though, didn't it? Let me just tell you what I think. I think it made volleyball a much more enjoyable sport to watch.
Yeah, and I think that was the goal. So,
much more spectator-friendly sport.
Yeah, definitely.
Probably not any more fun to play.
Yeah, definitely more spectator-friendly. Definitely more, I think, to be able to televise it. I think it made it a lot easier to televise. You know, you really just had no idea what time, how long it was going to take when it was regular scoring. Could have been 45 minutes, could have been 4 hours. I think that helped a lot, and I think adding the libero has helped the game tremendously. And I also think it's over the last couple of years and kind of changing the rule to the double on a second contact, as long as it stays on your side, I think that has extended rallies and just shown athleticism and allowed things to be smooth and more competitive. And so I think that was a good change too.
Well, you mentioned the liberos, and it strikes me that you're getting really good play out of your liberos.
We are, and they've done a great job. I think when we first started using the two libero system, it's because we had two liberos that had earned the opportunity to play in that jersey, and we didn't necessarily think that we would keep playing both of them. And honestly, like, they have just taken that role to a whole new level. You know, I can't really say enough about what Sadie does in serve receive, and Giselle from a defensive and a serve standpoint have really improved our team production. You know, I think from the beginning of the season, we've shown that we are a strong defensive team just solely on numbers,
right?
But with those two kind of embracing that role, I think we've allowed our team to be even more successful. And you know, I think that's one of the hardest things for teams. You are successful if your players accept their role, and you can still push for another role and fight for another role, but you have to be willing to do what the team needs you and you to do, and they are doing that. So
as a coach, do you like the rule that allows for two liberos?
Yeah, I mean, it's benefited us. I think it also, early in the season, you can get more defensive players playing opportunities, because obviously you're limited in subs. So with the libero transition not counting as a sub, you can kind of put two in that jersey and get them more opportunities. So I think that's good. That's good for the players. It's good for the teams.
As you take a look at the Lone Star Conference, is there anything about the way this season is unfolding that surprised you at all?
I mean, not particularly, because I feel like every year everyone is good. And so it's kind of like, yes, you have your teams that kind of float in the top five and teams that are trying to build that are floating in the bottom half and they're trying to fight for more. But it's just been super balanced. Like it is... I do think it's like that every year, but I think it's a little more balanced than it ever normally is, in terms of, like, you see matches like Cameron beating Kingsville and Kingsville beating West Texas, and you just kind of international beating us. I mean, that they played outstanding. They were tremendous that day, and we were not. And so it's kind of like, this is what happens.
Well, and Midwestern State's a part of that. That's added to the depth of this conference, because now Midwestern State's a factor in this conference.
Yeah. I definitely think that we have worked really hard to get where we are right now, and it's really nice to see some of that hard work paying off.
But I got a feeling it's not celebrating anything just yet. You've got a lot more that you want to accomplish.
We're celebrating growth, but we still have a lot more we want to do.
That is well said, Stephanie Radecki. That's a good note to go out on this Staying Gang podcast. Hey, be sure to make your way out to Lincoln Coliseum Friday at 6. The Saturday match is a 5:30 match against Permian Basin, so that's a little bit different starting time for a Saturday. But the excitement is unbeatable. You need to be there at D.L. Lincoln Coliseum. Thanks again, Stephanie. I'm Pete Stein.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Staying Gang podcast. Bring a friend or two to D.L. Lincoln Coliseum this weekend.